Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. And when you find it, let's stand up. That way we know you got it. Mark chapter 11. We're going to read in chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 20 and go down through 26. All right, and it starts out in verse 12. Now the next day when Jesus had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Now drop down to verse 20. And this is the next day. And it says, in the morning, they had passed by as they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Lord, this morning we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And Father, as we studied last week, Father, of the sower sowing the seed. And Lord, many of us have done this in various ways, Lord God, but many times we go out and we stir the dirt and the soil around the seed so that the nutrients and the sun and the water and everything can get into that seed and nurture it along. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that, Father, that you would reach down and begin to stir the soil around the seed of the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, that it might grow and that it might produce much fruit. And Lord, we thank you so much for that, Lord, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Last week we talked about Mark chapter 4. We began talking about faith and what it is to plant faith, how it is to grow in our life, what we need to do, all that kind of stuff. And so this morning, I didn't really get to the end of it last week, so I'm going to just kind of finish that, but I want to kind of recap where we were last week. And one of the things that we talked about last week was that you'll never begin to see what the seed can do until you put it in the ground. Amen? You won't be able to see what the seed can do until you put it in the ground. And when you finally put it in the ground, then you can begin to see what will take place, what it's going to produce. I know you can see pictures, you can hear what people have. Oh, this is such and such a seed, this will do this, this will do that. But until you actually put that seed in the ground, you're going to never see what that seed can do for you. And in order to do that, as a believer, the word in the parable last week, Jesus said, the sower sowed the word. All right? So this is the word, this is the seed that we need to sow. So how do you sow words? You got to open your mouth, right? You got to open your mouth and say something. You've got to communicate what the seed says. So do you have Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 up there, Lise? All right. I don't know if I gave it to you, but all right, and it says, let's all read this together, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. All right, stop right there. How many want your faith to become effective? Yes. All right, here's how you do it. It says, become effective, read with me, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you by Christ Jesus. Our faith becomes effective when we begin to acknowledge what Christ has done in us. I know over the last couple months, maybe years, I've been really focusing in on what Christ has done for me, who I am in Christ. If it says, in Christ, I am a new creation. What does that mean? And I begin to look at that and think about that and meditate on that. If it says, in Christ, I have the robe of righteousness. What does that mean? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. What does that mean? When it says that I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, what does that mean? Until I begin to acknowledge every good thing that God has done for me in Christ, I'm not going to begin to see or participate in the harvest of that seed. I need to begin to acknowledge that. I need to begin to see that in my life. And so last week we began talking about planting the seeds in our life. And so I want to continue that teaching this morning, because it's in the confession or in the acknowledging of what God has done that we will begin to see more of what God has done. And so we have to acknowledge what He wants us to have in our life. Now, there usually is this pause, maybe that's not the right word, but there's this waiting between the amen of your prayer and your confession and the answer. And in that pause, in that waiting period, that is the good fight of faith. That's the only fight that we have. Jesus already defeated the enemy. He's already defeated the devil. He's already won the victory. He's already said that we are more than conquerors. How many didn't feel like a conqueror once in a while? I mean, sometimes, you know, it just doesn't feel like that. But I can't allow that waiting period to change my confession. I am still a conqueror. It's not based on what I see. It's not based on any of that. I walk by faith. Faith is being fully convinced that God can do what He said He would do. Fully convinced that God will do what He said He would do. Now, many times, there's seeds that I have and I've seen that I don't want growing in my garden. I mean, let's face it. I don't know, maybe you guys just eat anything and everything that comes out of a garden, but I don't. Number one thing that I don't care for is spinach. Now, I know that just hurts some people's feelings, but you know what? I am sorry, but I don't want to take up the space. Why waste the space with spinach? Okay? All right, maybe John, you agree. Okay, all right. So I'm not alone here. But I have learned over the years, when I grew up, my family was basically meat and potatoes and occasionally green beans and peas. Some of the basic stuff. We didn't even have salads normally. I mean, it was just meat and potatoes. And it was usually elk. And maybe once in a while we'd get a deer. But it was just meat and potatoes until I met this wonderful lady from Louisiana who knows how to spice things up. And she made this dinner when we first got married that we had a disagreement about it. You guys have probably had pepper steak before. Not in my home. We never had that. And so when I came home from working in the woods, I was hungry, and I could smell peppers. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this isn't going to be good. And I had made my mind up already. This was not going to be good. Now, you guys laugh at me, but this was our life. This was my life. Yeah, we sat there at the table and argued. And she said, they're hot. No, they're not hot. And she worked so hard to finally get me. And I don't know if I ever tasted the peppers that night. But eventually, I like pepper steak. I like pepper steak. And then you get into the gumbos and all the other Cajun food. And there's spices in there that I didn't even know existed when I was growing up. I mean, I love my mom, and she fed me and kept me healthy, but she didn't know what they were, spices. Or maybe she did, I don't know. She didn't use them on us, because we probably wouldn't have eaten them. I mean, it was just, that was it. But, you know, you laugh at me because you wouldn't try peppers? They're not hot, they're good, and just on and on and on. Yeah. But you know what? I have found in this bag of seeds right here, there's things that you choke on too. And you will argue, that's not for me. That's not for me. I only do this and this. You get into that Holy Spirit stuff and oh boy, that's terrible. Have you tried it? That's the thing is, what we normally do is, what I was doing was taking somebody else's word that peppers were hot. I don't even know who told me that. My imagination, I guess. Could have been a brother. You know how brothers are. But I was convinced that's not good. But you know what? There's a lot of people in churches today that are convinced that the gifts of the Spirit, healing, deliverance, all these things are not good. You can't get too carried away with this. They've never tried it, but they're taking somebody else's word for it. And they will quote you what those other people said, but they never quote you what the Bible says. Over this week, or this month, 21 days of faith-filled prayer and fasting, I want to challenge you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that what He says in His Word is good. And begin to step out in ways that maybe you have never stepped out before. Maybe you heard somebody say years ago, oh, that's not good. I've seen those people rolling in the aisles. Well, good. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that service? I mean, let's say, God, what do you want from me? We talked a little bit last week about Jesus and the disciples going over to the other side. Jesus says, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Jesus crawls in the back of the boat and does what? Falls asleep, right? Okay. The disciples get up in the front of the boat and start heading towards the other side. They get out there, and you know the story. The storm begins to blow. The winds come up. The waves start coming over. And the people in the boat who are experienced think, we're going to die because of the waves. Because of the things that they're seeing, because of the things that they're feeling, because the water's coming up in the boat. It doesn't say how deep the water got in the boat, but it was deep enough that they were concerned. And our good friend Rich told us they need to put a plug in it so they don't fill up with water. But you know what? They were going by what they could see. Now, what does the scripture say? We walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. But they became fearful because something was getting out of control in their life. And they run back to Jesus, wake him up, and they say to Jesus, do you not care that we're going to drown? Do you not care that we're going to die? Do you not care? Well, Jesus gets up, stands up, and he rebukes the wind and the waves, and it just calms down. And then he turns to the disciples, and he looks at them, and he says, Why are you so fearful? Don't you have any faith? Now think about that. Jesus could tell because of their fear that they were not in faith. What does Jesus see in your life when he sees you in fear? Now, we might be able to spiritualize it and say, oh, yeah, and then we might go off on this. This is, you know, I need to have a little bit, you know, fear, and this, blah, blah, blah. And that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, why are you so fearful, and where is your faith? Now, he could tell because of the fear there was no faith. Do you think he's just as sharp today with us? When we walk in fear, he can look at us and say, where's your faith? Didn't I say we're going to the other side? Didn't I say I would take care of this? Didn't I say that I would provide this? Didn't I say, and he, you know what? God knows the word. He knows what kinds of seeds are in this Bible. He knows what's there. The question is do we? Do we know what's in there? And are we believing it? Are we willing to stand up and say, I can believe it? Now, in our text this morning, it says, verse 22. Let me start with 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Can you go back to 23, verse 23? I want you guys to read this verse. I want you to read it. I'm not going to read it. You just read verse 23, all right? For assuredly... You're mumbling. I can't hear you. All right, you all done? Okay. Who's doing the talking in this verse? Well, he's telling the disciples, but what's he saying? He says, okay, for assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, who's he talking about? Anybody, right? Anybody, okay? Okay, anybody can say, so that means if you're an anybody, then you can say this, all right? You can say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says that you say will be done, he will have whatever he says. I know we don't argue about whether God can say it and it'll be done. But in this verse is talking about you. You can have what you say if you believe it will be done. If you believe and don't doubt, if you confess and don't doubt, you can have what you say. You read that. Is that what you guys read? But that's not what we hear a lot of times. It's always about, what did God say? Well, we know we can quote the scriptures, but Jesus is talking about faith right here, and faith is about what you believe. What do you believe, and what are you saying? Now, see, the disciples in the boat, they were judging what they said based on everything they could see. The wind, the waves, and the water. And I'm sure they were probably a little irritated with Jesus. It doesn't say that, but hey, he was sleeping. You know, so they were doing everything based on what they could see. Excuse me. It's been said, if you can't sleep in the midst of a storm, you'll never have faith over it. If you can't sleep or rest in the middle of a storm, how many have been in a storm and got all worked up? Yeah, we do. We get in the middle of the storm and we get all worked up, just like the disciples. We get all worked up and wonder, well, I'm in faith. No, you're not. You're in fear. Because you're all worked up. Jesus could see the fear, and he knew where their faith was. Now, I know some of you might not want to hear that, but my goal is to stir up that soil around the seed so it can begin to grow. And if we can't believe what comes out of our mouth, well, let me ask you, why are you even opening it? If you're not going to believe it, we need to believe what comes out of our mouth. We need to know that when we begin to speak, the words that come out of our mouth will make a difference. See, this is a game changer for the believer today. When you begin to believe what comes out of your mouth, let me read a few scriptures to you. Proverbs 18:21. We know this one. Death and life are in the power of the word of God, right? No, it's in your tongue. It's in your mouth. The power of death and life are in your tongue. It's in your mouth. You need to speak, because what you speak either brings forth death or it brings forth life. James chapter 3, verses 4 through 8 says this: look at a ship. Although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot, that would be you in this story, the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great. See how powerful your tongue is? We look at that rudder and think, that's amazing. Look at what that little rudder can do for that huge ship. And then we don't think anything about the words that come out of our mouth. But our mouth is the same thing as a rudder. Then it goes on and it says, see how great a forest a little fire can kindle? And the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And by it, and it is set on fire by hell. Can you imagine? The little words that come out of our mouth that we think nothing of saying can create huge fires. I mean, think about that. Just a comment. Just a comment. How many have made offhand comments and kind of, oh, yeah, and you just laugh about it a little bit? And then go on. No biggie. But your words are like a spark to dry wood in a furnace or in a forest. And if we allow them to go, we could burn the whole forest down. I don't know if you've ever had little words come out of your mouth, not even aware of them, later find out you lost a relationship, a friendship, because you said some little thing, which turned into this huge thing. And next thing you know, it's like, well, what happened? How? What happened? We never hang out anymore. We never do anything together. We just, it's like this, something came in between us. And when you finally, if you ever get to the bottom of it, it's this little bitty thing that was spoken years ago that has grown into this forest fire and destroys everything in its path, destroys the whole relationship. Let's go on. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Okay, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poisons. Now, how many have just tried to stop cussing? Just on your own, you just, maybe you cussed all the time when you were younger, and yeah, I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying not to do that. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. All right? It says right there in James 3, you cannot tame your tongue. But now Jesus has a different viewpoint because Jesus knows how to tame the tongue. And he says over in Matthew chapter 12, he says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. What are you treasuring up in your heart? See? You can't tame your tongue by yourself, but when you begin to fill your mouth and your heart with good things, then good will come out of your mouth. When you fill your heart with life, life is going to come out. When you fill your heart with death, then death is going to come out. And I think you all have experienced this at one point or another, one level or another. You can't sit and listen to demonic music and expect good things to come out of your mouth. You can't sit and watch demonic movies and expect good to come out of your heart. You can't sit and watch the things of the world and expect the things of God to come out. As much as you might want it to, you have to train your heart to be filled with good things. We happen to be in the middle of these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, I know most of the people that I talk to when I say this, you're not going to eat for 21 days? No, it's not about the food. It's about what we're putting in. So maybe whatever you have been putting in, on Caleb, I don't know if you guys have ever listened to Caleb, but they do during January, they do, 30 days of listening to Christian music. Turn off the country. I know I said it, country. Turn off the country. Turn off the rock and roll. Turn off the 80s. Turn off the 60s. Turn off whatever it is you listen to, and listen to God-honoring music. And that whole thing will change in your heart. You begin to see things different. You have a different thing coming out of your mouth because you're putting in different stuff. So Jesus says, you can change what comes out of your mouth. But you got to be careful. You change it by what you put in your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your hearts with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of your heart springs the issues of life. So guard what you put in your heart. And then he says in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. How would you interpret that? Don't lie. Don't deceive. Oh, but nobody in church does that, do they? Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. It was only a word. It wasn't, oh, you say that all the, everybody says that. Do they? Put perverse lips far from you. Back in Matthew, Jesus said in verse 36, he says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Every idle word, or you can define that like this, every lazy word that you didn't stop from coming out of your mouth. You know you shouldn't have said it, but you said it anyway. And then you try to make excuses of why you said it. Oh, I've said that all my life. It was her fault. I haven't used that one, so. But a lazy word is an idle word, a useless word, a word that has no productivity. And you hear it all the time in the world. A lot of these words are just useless. There's no point. I used to work with a guy in Colorado at a warehouse. And I don't think he knew any other way to describe anything that didn't start with an F. And because of that, even the other coworkers that were not believers would give him a hard time. You can't even go 30 seconds without saying that. And he would argue, oh, yes, I can. No, you can't. And they would argue with him. And they proved it. He said, okay, go. And we started talking, and I bet it wasn't 20 seconds, and he was using the F word and doing this and that. And it's like, he just didn't know how to. Come on, don't we know any other words to describe things? Words that are encouraging? And I know that the world thinks that's stupid, but the scripture doesn't. And I'm not walking by the world standards. I want to walk by the scripture, by the word of God. And so if the word of God says these words are lazy and unproductive and idle, then I'm not going to argue. I'm just not going to say it. I'm going to do my best not to say it. And so I need to be careful what I put in. What I put in. Because when I was a kid, in sports and in the locker room, if you've ever been in locker rooms, you kind of know what that's like. It's just not a good place. Spiritually. When I would get out and do my work or whatever I was doing and something wouldn't go right, the words that I was hearing in school and in the locker room were the words that were coming first to my mind, because that's what I was hearing all the time. And I had to stop that. I had to, wait, I can't do that. And I would have to put a guard over my mouth. No, I'm not going to talk that way. And most of the time, okay, let's be honest, most of the time you can do it. But there's other times you just are glad nobody's listening. Amen. You know, but you can change that by what goes into your heart. By what goes into your heart. If you put good things into your heart, good things are going to come out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, I have life and death in my tongue. I have life and or death. The scripture says that the word of God is a two-edged sword. And I don't know if you've ever played with a two-edged sword before, but you know what? They cut this way and they cut this way, both ways. So you get life one way and you get death the other way. But it's all coming from your mouth. But you get to choose which way you swing it. You get to choose, is it going to bring forth life or death? I know we like to talk about all the good stuff, the good side. But you know what? We need to be aware of the negative stuff that comes out of our mouth too. Not to condemn us, not to beat ourselves up because that came out of your mouth, but to correct it. But to correct it and to make sure you don't do it again. So as we go through the 21 days of prayer and fasting, faith-filled prayers, make sure your prayers are full of faith in the Word. And I know that some of that might be just quoting the scripture. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. I live by faith. Now, we might have to say that every morning. And a couple times during the day. Because there's times during the day where that faith, you're not so convinced when you're facing the storm. And so we need to begin to fill that heart of ours with good things, the Word of God, getting it on the inside. And the more you're on the outside yet, it's on the you're getting it on the inside. And the more you fill your heart with it, out of the abundance of that heart, guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of that heart, out of that good stuff that you're putting in your heart, which is the Word of God, then you're going to see good things come from that. But if we're continuing to put evil things, we're still watching things we shouldn't be watching, we're still listening to things we shouldn't be listening to, we're still in environments that we shouldn't be in, I mean, how many ever told their kids to go out and play, but don't get in the mud? Stay away from the mud puddles. Where do your kids go? Go to the mud puddle. You know, so it's like, okay, we need to be careful. And if you don't want the kids getting in the mud puddle, stay inside. Don't go out there. Don't go out there and you won't get dirty. I don't know if that's new information for you, but it just works that way. In James chapter 3, it tells us that blessings and cursings come from the same mouth. In James chapter 3, it tells us that you can't get fresh water out of bitter water. It doesn't work. You've got to flush all the evil out. And you do that with the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing it again. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God over and over and over and over. And then we begin to believe it. Yes, that's what the Word says. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer me living, but Christ living through me. He is living through me. God, how do I represent you today? How should I represent you in this situation? God, I want you to be represented today through me, because the old me was crucified. He's dead. He's no longer alive. Do you realize that a crucifixion ends bad habits? Kind of ends everything, doesn't it? A crucifixion, a death, stops bad habits. Have you been crucified with Christ? All right? Just let you think about that. But I want to encourage you to guard your heart. Guard your heart and all that's coming into it. We are getting bombarded every day with junk. We are bombarded every day with all kinds of junk and perversion that most of us would be embarrassed if we realized and remembered that Jesus is standing there right next to you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, it says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you know your friends have a lot to do with what's in your heart? Your friends have a lot to do with what's in your heart. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God. And in his Word, in his law, does he meditate day and night. What are we meditating on? What's filling our heart? So that when we speak, when we open our mouth, good things come out. Because the first words that come out of your mouth is what you really believe. The first things that come out of your mouth is what you really believe. Now, you might be able to change it just like that. Oh, wait, no, I meant this. I gotta watch my confession. And so you try to change it. But if that's in there, that's coming out because it's in here. So I need to flush that out, so that's not my first response. That's not my first reaction. That's not my first comment. I need to have the promises of God hidden inside of me. Because the righteous man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Real quick, what are you planting in your heart? Now, the scripture says over in Galatians chapter 5 that you have the Spirit of God living in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, whatever version. And you can go through there. And then when you get into a lot of people's lives and their churches, well, I don't have patience. Well, you know what? That seed is still there. Well, I just can't love those people. That seed is still there. What's coming out of your mouth is determining the growth of that seed. What's coming out of our mouth is determining the growth of that seed. And so I want to encourage you to begin to stir up that soil around the fruit of the Spirit. Love. I thank God every morning that I can walk in love towards these people. I thank God that I have joy in the midst of struggles. I count it all joy when I fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith produces good things. I thank God that I have peace, patience, kindness. That's all in you as a believer, but for some it still might be just a seed, just a tiny little seed. You need to water it. And how do we water it again? It's a hint. It's your mouth. We acknowledge every good thing that Christ has done for us. It comes from here. We water it. You might not have the fruit, bearing fruit right now, but it will grow. Because it's the Word of God. And it grows. You noticed over in Mark chapter 4, every one of those seeds grew that was allowed to stay in the ground. And when it grew, it said even in the good ground, when it grew, some was 30-fold, 60, and some was 100. And probably a lot of that depends on the confession that's coming out of our mouth. I want to encourage you, plant that seed every morning. Plant that seed. Make sure you've got that seed going down deep. I walk in love. I walk in peace. I walk in patience. I am walking in self-control. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-control for a sound mind. See, all of that comes from here. You might not need to do that a couple times each day, especially when you get started, because you got to flush that stuff out. And you might need to stop later on in the day and start over. God, I'm pulling down those imaginations. I'm pulling down those strongholds. I'm pulling down that pattern of thinking that I had before. I am not that man. I am crucified with Christ. I am a child of God. And begin to see that seed grow in you. Amen?